Are you looking for a fun way to celebrate and teach your kids about Jesus when they lose their teeth? Do you struggle with guilt from past mistakes and just can't seem to let them go? Do those two things seem totally unrelated? Well, they are. But if you'd like to know how to navigate either of these issues, then we're so glad you're joining us for today's episode of Ask Ginger. I'm your host, Katie Morgan, and welcome to Parenting with Ginger Hubbard. Ginger is the best-selling author of Don't Make Me Count to Three, Wise Words for Moms, and I Can't Believe You Just Said That. She speaks at women's events, parenting conferences, and homeschool conventions across the country. You can check out her parenting resources and find out when she's speaking in or near your area at gingerhubbard.com. If you enjoy our podcast and want to help support our ministry, one way you can do that is by purchasing Ginger's resources directly from her website instead of other super convenient online retailers. And stay tuned until the end of this episode to receive a discount code on your purchase at gingerhubbard.com. Another great way to support our ministry is by helping us to get the word out to other parents by subscribing to our podcast and leaving a rating or a review wherever you listen. Thank you so much for your support, listeners. This enables us to further our mission to help parents reach the hearts of their children for the glory of God. Do your kids just love getting mail? Do you go to the mailbox with them and sift through the mountain of paper like coupon for mold removal? Yeah, don't need that. Hopefully. Electric bill. Ouch. Bathing suit magazine you didn't request. No, thank you. But what if your kids went to the mailbox with you to find an engaging current events magazine just for them, presented from a biblical worldview? God's World News is just that, and so much more. They offer bi-monthly print magazines and corresponding online content that will walk your kids through current events in age-appropriate ways, from toddlers all the way to teens. Subscribe at gwnews.com/ginger. Again, that's gwnews.com/ginger. Well, hey there, Ginger. I'm always excited about Ask Ginger episodes. These are so much fun. And Ginger, I have to say, I'm really curious to know what you're going to say about this tooth fairy business and letting go of guilt. So let's get started with a question that came in from two of our listeners in Hornick, Iowa. Michael and Maria write this. Hey, Ginger, we love your podcast, your books, and all the content you provide us parents with to encourage us in raising our children in accordance with God's word and to learn to trust and follow Jesus. Thank you for all you do and the time you take to encourage us. What recommendations do you have or ideas that you've heard other parents use when it comes to the tooth fairy? We have a 5-year-old, our oldest, who just had her first loose tooth. As parents, we feel we are setting a precedent when that tooth falls out for all future teeth that fall out for all of our kids. Big decision. Are there any creative ideas you've heard of how to use this opportunity to preach Jesus to our little ones as their teeth fall out? Any advice or ideas that you have would be appreciated.
Well, hello there, Michael and Maria. I actually have to confess that I've never even thought about how children losing teeth might be used as an opportunity to talk with them about Jesus, but I love that you guys want to do that. Personally, I didn't bring the tooth fairy into the scenario in the traditional sense with my kids when they started losing teeth. Instead, I started a fun tradition that we called Granny Tooth Trader in our home. but I also have to confess that there wasn't anything spiritual about it at all. On the days that my kids lost a tooth, I would just tell them that Granny Tooth Trader would be coming by and paying them a visit. And that
I'm
they
just
should
picturing
be
this. Like, it's just cracking me up thinking about it. Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, it gets better. Wait till I tell you about the mask. So I would tell them that Granny Tooth Trader would be coming by and paying them a visit and that they should be listening for the doorbell to ring at any time. So that would build, you know, all the anticipation of that. And just as a side note, the only days that my kids were allowed to answer the door by themselves were on days that they were expecting a visit from Granny Tooth Trader or maybe their grandparents. So don't go sending me a bunch of emails about child safety.
I didn't even think about it.
Okay. We would have gotten an email, believe me. Maybe you let your kids answer the door without you. But they knew. That was just part of the anticipation. Anyway, so at some point during the day that they lost a tooth, I would slip off. And Katie, I had this old lady mask that I had for years stuffed in a box somewhere. And then I would walk around the house or slip out the front door and ring the front doorbell. And when they answered, I would say, I hear you lost a tooth today, and it just so happens I'm in the market for a good tooth. Trying to give my best old lady voice. And then I would trade them some money for their tooth. And so they knew it was me, of course. It was just pretend, but they loved it. And it was just a fun way for us to pretend. And if I'm being completely honest, it was also a way to celebrate that didn't involve me having to drag myself out of bed in the middle of the night and to sneak money under their pillows. So again, there was nothing spiritual about it. It was basically all selfishness and pretending. But Michael and Maria, you do have my wheels turning now. And I actually do have an idea for how you guys might use the whole experience as an opportunity to talk about Jesus. Maybe you could compare the old tooth having to come out in order for the new tooth to come in to Jesus coming down from heaven to die for our sins in order for us to have new life in him. And if you want to exchange a little money for the tooth, maybe you could talk about how Jesus paid the price for sin. He exchanged his life for ours. You could also make the comparison between losing the old tooth in order to get a new tooth to how Jesus calls us to put off our old selves in order to put on our new selves. So those are just a couple of correlations that you might could make to teach them about Jesus. Just a few that come to mind there. So, and then dress up as a pretend character of some sort, and voila, you've got your own family tradition that's fun and that points your children to Jesus.
I don't know, Ginger. I think you've got your next book idea with this granny tooth trader thing and connecting it all with Jesus and
a new children's book. Yeah, I was actually thinking that while I was talking about it. Yeah. And another thought is that some kids are even fearful about losing teeth. Mm. And, you know, actually, now that I think about it, I'm surprised my kids weren't fearful of losing teeth because my granny tooth trader mask was actually a little scary. So maybe choose something that won't give them nightmares. Anyway, dressing up as a pretend, choose something non-threatening character could be a fun way to not only teach them about Jesus, but to help alleviate fear for those kids that do have that fear. If they know when the tooth comes out that that's going to mean a surprise visit from a friendly character and a friendly character with money to give, no less, the anticipation of that might override some of that fear. And Katie, maybe if I do write that book, it will help alleviate some of the guilt I have now for not using the whole tooth losing process as an opportunity to teach my kids about Jesus. So yeah, maybe I'll write that book and then it'll be a way to redeem myself with all of my grandkids that I will hopefully have one day, Lord willing.
I think that's probably the purpose of having grandchildren is to just redeem the mistakes you made in parenting.
Yeah.
Okay, so our next question comes from Brittany, and she asks, I'm a stay-at-home mom because we wanted me to be the biggest influence in my son's life. He's one. I have some autoimmune issues that cause chronic fatigue if I don't work out, and I've been having a hard time actually working out around my boy. It's difficult for many reasons, and I don't accomplish what I need. We have been looking into gyms with good childcare, but I just feel so guilty. I don't have any family around, so this would be a way for me to get support and do something that helps my health. But is it okay for a childcare worker to watch my son for an hour a day when I specifically stayed home to be his main influence? Maybe I'm supposed to not hold on so tightly, but I get uncomfortable not being able to see everything happening with my son and getting to talk him through things. My heart is just so confused, and I could use some godly wisdom. Well, Ginger, I know you'll have some wisdom to offer on this, but I want to say, Brittany, that I feel your pain on this. And as is the case pretty often when we get questions, I think you have somewhat answered it yourself. You said, is it okay for a childcare worker to watch my son for an hour a day when I specifically stayed home to be his main influence? And then you said, maybe I'm not supposed to hold on so tightly. While your desire to be the main influence in your child's life is a very good thing, I do believe it would be healthy for both you and your son to find ways you can spend time caring for your physical, emotional, and spiritual well-being while he's in a place where he is safe. And I sense that you know how much you need that. So you'll have to vet it, obviously, to determine what that place is and help him anticipate any challenges he might face there as he gets older. But I believe this is one of the most important things you can do for yourself and by extension for your son.
I totally agree with Katie's counsel there. Taking care of yourself enables you to better care for your son. Mm-hmm. So you absolutely should not feel guilty about joining a gym and having some time away from your son in order to get some exercise. The issue is what to do with your son during that time. And I wouldn't dare try to make that decision for you. Mm-hmm. Only you can determine if the guilt you feel about leaving him with a childcare worker at the gym is guilt from the enemy or discernment from the Lord. You said one thing that bothers you about the gym nursery is that you would be uncomfortable not being able to see what's happening. I believe leaving your child in the care of someone that you don't know at all is a valid concern that any discerning mom would have. Now, let me be clear. This is not a sin issue at all. There's really no right or wrong answer. You're not a bad mom if you decide to put your son in the care of a worker at the gym. And I would imagine and hope that they do background checks and thoroughly vet their caregivers. Mm-hmm. But since you are concerned, that might be a good question to ask the people at the gym. How do they vet those caregivers? How do they hire them? What do they know about their backgrounds? But since you are feeling somewhat uncomfortable with it, I'm wondering if there might be another option that would be more comfortable for you. Maybe there's a mom in your church that's in the same boat, a mom who would love to have a little time to herself and would be willing to trade watching your son for you to watch her child. I know when my kids were little, I went through a season where I did this with a friend, and oh, man, it was such a blessing because it gave both of us much needed time. It gave both of us a break to just enjoy some time to ourselves doing whatever it is that we wanted to do. I will say this, I didn't spend my downtime at the gym on those swaps when I had my day. I pretty much laid around the house in my pajamas and did as little as possible.
Eating hot dogs. I know that's what she was doing.
Absolutely. Yep. A break for me was rest, not going to a gym. But I know a lot of people, it's the opposite. They love to get out and work out, and that's what's relaxing and rejuvenating to them. And our kids loved it too. They were all close in age, so getting together to play with someone every week that was their age, they really looked forward to that as well. Our kids were school age at the time, and we both homeschooled, so we just packed up whatever they needed to complete school assignments that day and sent them with that. And of course, we gave really light school assignments on those days because we knew the kids wanted to get to play, and it was a special day for them as well. So we allowed for plenty of playtime and not so much schoolwork on those days. If none of your friends are available or interested in a mom's day off swap, maybe the children's director at your church might know of someone who would be a good fit and that you might be comfortable with.
You know, I have a friend who, she actually listens to our podcast, I Love Her to Death, and she is a single mom and has two young kids, one with special needs, and she is a part of a gym, and she does this very thing. She really, that is her mental health break, and she homeschools these kids too. I mean, so she's got a lot going on, but she takes them to the gym, and they are watched. You know, they're in very good care there. And then sometimes she'll even go sit in her car and just talk for a little bit, you know, to get even just a little bit of time, as much as she can stretch and do some quiet time, social exercise and do both. Mm-hmm. So I think that could be a really good thing. If you're able to vet it and make sure that it's a good fit. Yeah. I like your ideas, Ginger, too, about the swapping, though. I don't know that that would have appealed to me as much.
Yeah. Why not?
I think probably the watching the other people's kids thing.
just fine for them to watch yours.
Yeah, if you want to take mine, great. And then I'll just do like 10 loads of your laundry or wash your dishes. It's not that I don't like kids. It's just that that would almost be more stressful for me than not getting a break. to be perfectly honest with you.
So. Yeah. Well, I don't know. Ours were the same age, though, and they got along well. Yeah. So, you know.
And I think it depends on the ages of the kids, too. Like, if they had a bunch of toddlers, I'd be like, oh, no, we're good.
That would be hard. Right. Yeah. Well, see, like I said, ours were school age. So, you know, a couple of hours was actually spent with them doing their school assignments, and then they were able to play. So there was some structure and some non-structure. But, you know, and that's the thing, too. You've got to find somebody that your kids are compatible, that you sort of have the same values and are on the same page. In the things that you're teaching them. And so, yeah, there's a lot of factors that play into that decision. And like I said, there's no right or wrong answer. There is certainly nothing wrong with putting your child in the gym. It just, you know, but if you are hesitant about it, you're going to feel a whole lot better about it. If you do, talk to the people at the gym and find out, you know, how do you get your childcare workers or do background checks and that sort of thing.
Are there cameras? I mean, most of them will have cameras in there and ways they can monitor what's going on.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. Yeah. Yep.
Ever wondered why traditional math curricula seem like a one-size-fits-all deal? Well, let's shake things up a bit and talk about CTC Math, a program that truly understands your child's unique learning needs. Imagine a math curriculum that adapts to their pace, making learning not just effective, but also enjoyable. No more tears. The interactive questions change in difficulty based on how your child is progressing, ensuring they're challenged just enough, not too hard, not too easy. It's like having a math tutor who knows exactly what they need when they need it. And as a parent, you'll love the detailed reports. You get to see their progress in real time so you can celebrate their victories and understand their challenges. It's really empowering. So if you're ready to give your child's math education a major boost, just visit ctcmath.com and sign up for a free trial. That's ctcmath.com. Okay, our next listener question was not related to parenting, but it was also guilt related. So we thought this episode would be a good opportunity to address that. Our listener Chloe writes this. Hi, Ginger. Love your content. My question is this. As a Christian woman, how do you let go of your past mistakes? I keep beating myself up about decisions I've made in the past and can't seem to let them go and move forward.
Well, Chloe, I feel your pain. Guilt over mistakes is something I struggle with too, so much so that I have spent a lot of time studying the Word of God to help me understand the difference between conviction and condemnation. The Holy Spirit is at work to lead and guide us through our God-given feelings and emotions. But there is also another spirit at work to try to use our feelings and emotions for destruction. Mm. This is why it's important to heed the Apostle John's counsel and assess which spirit we're listening and submitting to. In 1 John 4:1, he said, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God." So we look to scriptures that talk about conviction from God versus condemnation from the enemy. Another way to test the spirits in regards to our feelings is to examine the fruit they're bringing forth in our lives. We know from God's word that submitting to conviction from the Holy Spirit brings life, joy, and peace, while submitting to condemnation from the enemy brings shame, guilt, and death. We also know from scripture that conviction involves unconfessed sin that has not been absolved through forgiveness in Christ. It stems from rebellion against God and God's loving desire to bring atonement and freedom to his children. Conviction is something we should embrace because it prompts us to confess and repent of sins against God and, when necessary, to make things right with others. Condemnation involves confessed sin that has been absolved through forgiveness in Christ. It stems from a disbelief that Jesus is who he says he is and has done all that he said he would do. Condemnation is when we fail really to forgive ourselves. It's a lie from the enemy, who is known in the Bible as the accuser. He uses guilt to distract us and get us to focus on ourselves and our own shortcomings instead of Jesus and his provision for our sins. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And one of the most effective ways he does that is through guilt and condemnation, which keep God's children from experiencing the freedom and joy we have in Christ.
Ginger, I think a quick summary of that could be that conviction drives us toward God in repentance, and condemnation drives us away from God in shame.
Exactly. And Katie, you're always so good at doing that. It's summarizing my long-winded, drawn-out points into one sentence. So we could have just done that one sentence and gone on to the next question.
Oh, there's no fun in that.
But Chloe, the bottom line is that if you're struggling with guilt from sin, you've already confessed to God, you can be certain that guilt is from the enemy. It's based on a lie. Confessed sin has been forgiven and atoned for through the blood of Jesus. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And Romans 8 verses 1 and 2 say, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. So let me just give a quick one-sentence summary, Katie style here. Guilt can only torment those who refuse to believe and accept the finality of the work of Jesus at Calvary. So, Chloe, I encourage you to stop trying to fight a battle that's already been won. Cling to and pray through the verses I just mentioned to combat the enemy's attack. Pray them boldly, out loud, with authority and thankfulness that Jesus has already won the victory and that you are a forgiven child of God.
Well, Ginger, I do want to mention something that actually came into my mind with this question, and it's probably on my mind because our pastor just preached a sermon on it recently. And I want to say that this might not apply to Chloe, but I thought it would be important to mention. But obsessive self-condemnation can actually be sinful pride. Now, I know that seems counterintuitive to some people, but I love the definition that our pastor Josh Smith gave in that sermon on this topic of pride. And we'll put a link to that in the show notes. But he said that it's an idolatrous preoccupation with self. That was a really helpful definition for me. And that preoccupation can go either toward self-inflation or toward the other extreme, which is self-deprecation. So I don't want to assume that this is what Chloe was dealing with, but I'm sure there are those who might not have considered their self-condemnation as a form of pride and something to be dealt with in that way. It's helpful to identify what exactly is the root sin that I'm dealing with. And of course, the antidote for pride is humility. So just hope that's helpful.
Yeah, it is, Katie. That's incredibly insightful and helpful. So much so that I would actually like to listen to that sermon. So yeah, definitely have Heather put a link in the show notes in case what you just said there struck a chord with anyone else as much as it did with me.
Well, and you know, he even has a handout on, I think it's on their website. If not, I'll see if I can get them to send it to us so we can post it. But he has a whole printout of manifestations of pride and then manifestations of humility. And that was just really helpful to think through some of the ways that pride can creep in, because pretty much every sin we commit can be traced back to pride.
Yeah, it really can.
So Ginger, I know that this self-condemnation has been such a struggle for you. That you not only spent a lot of time studying what the Bible says about it, that condemnation versus conviction and what it means to walk in the grace of God, but you also wrote a book about it. And it's called Guiltless Living, Confessions of a Serial Sinner Captured by the Grace of God.
I did. And, you know, Katie, I wrote it because overcoming guilt by learning to live in the grace of God and what that means was not only something I wanted for myself, but for others who have that same struggle. I'll be honest, it's still a struggle for me. So I've written that book not as an expert, really, or as one who has arrived, but as someone who is still on that journey. I wanted to come alongside other women on this same journey who are looking to embrace the acceptance and freedom we have in Jesus. And so I was very transparent about my own struggle with this in the book. I actually opened each chapter with a confession of a specific way that I have messed up and blown it over the course of my life. And some of my stories are funny now, maybe not so much then, but now they are looking back. And some are painfully hard and really even embarrassing to share. And then I unpack passages of scripture that have helped me overcome condemnation. And I just want to say that I don't open up and share about the dark corners of my heart in order to pique curiosity or air my dirty laundry, but just to help others learn how to take hold of and live in the grace of God.
Mm. Well, Ginger, I also know that you included a 7-week Bible study at the end of that book, so it is great for individual study or group study. So listeners, you can stay tuned until the end of this episode to learn how you can get a discount on that book called Guiltless Living. And if guilt and condemnation are things you struggle with specifically as a mom, Ginger and I did a whole episode on that back in October of last year, and that was episode 145 called Overcoming Mom Guilt.
Yeah. And there's also another book that I want to mention and recommend here that helped me tremendously on my journey to overcome condemnation and embrace God's grace. And like I said, I'm still on that journey. There's times I still struggle with it. But the first book that I read on that topic was called Three Free Sins, which, you know, if you ponder that, it just sounds really strange. I like the subtitle better than the title. The subtitle was God's Not Mad at You. And it just really grabbed my attention. It hit me that part of my struggle with guilt stemmed from a belief that God was mad or disappointed in me, which, as you said, Katie, really stems from a self-focused, self-reliant form of pride, a pride that believes our worth comes from our own efforts or anything other than the atoning work of Jesus. So Steve Brown is the author of that book, and he makes a very interesting case that the reason we're so bad is that we're trying so hard to be good. I heard Steve speak on this topic a few years ago. He came to our hometown, and I just found his insights to be full of biblical truth and wisdom. He's also a pretty hilarious writer and speaker, and that's always good when you're talking about a heavy topic to have a little bit of humor in there. So who doesn't love a good laugh? Anyway, Three Free Sins is, in my opinion, a really good book for anyone who struggles with condemnation and understanding why they struggle with forgiving themselves. So we'll link to that book in the show notes as well.
Now is the part of our show where we share a funny kid quip from one of our listeners. Today's kid quip is courtesy of Amanda from Louisiana, and she says this: My daughter and I were reading the story of David and Goliath one night when she was about 3 or 4, a story which she had heard a few times before. And when I got to the part where the giant comes out, I said, "And who did David fight?" And being the true Louisiana girl that she is, exclaimed, "Jambalayath." Jambalaya. We had a good laugh, and it's something my husband and I still mention every time that story comes up. That is hysterical.
Yeah, it is.
Well, okay, so can I throw in a bonus kid quip here that just happened this past week for us?
Yeah.
We were doing our Bible time, and our kids, when they were younger, our oldest two, watched the whole Buck Denver series. It's What's in the Bible with Buck Denver. And they were just, it's from the creators of VeggieTales. And I just thought they were really cleverly written and the songs were catchy. And so we learned a lot through, we actually all learned a lot through watching those. Well, my youngest didn't watch those as much because, you know, they were already watching older kid stuff by the time he was coming along. So I actually started singing one of those songs the other day, and it was Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, read a little every day. And so anyway, and I get to cap it all off with a trip through, and he was supposed to say Deuteronomy, and he goes, "Canada." We were like, not even a book of the Bible, but okay. So now that's all I can think about is we're like Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Canada.
Canada.
Oh, Grayson, he's got so many good kid quips in there. But anyway, listeners, if you have a kid quip for our show, we would love to hear from you. It can be any funny thing your child or grandchild has said, or it can even be something funny you said as a child. Just go to gingerhubbard.com/kidquips. That's Q-U-I-P-S to submit those. Well, Ginger, I don't know about you, but I am always, actually, I do know about you. We are both so grateful when our listeners write in with questions because they're almost always asking on behalf of so many others who have probably wondered the same thing. So thank you, listeners, for taking the time to send your questions, for keeping our podcast going with your questions, because it's so great to help us know what you're thinking and what you want to hear from us. So Ginger, can you leave us all with a final word of encouragement?
Whether we're seeking to be more intentional about pointing our children to Jesus or seeking to overcome guilt and walk more freely in grace, there is no better place to look for wisdom, hope, and help than the infallible and life-giving truths of God's Word.
Thank you so much, Ginger, and thank you, listeners, for joining us today.
If your church might be interested in hosting Ginger and Me for a women's event or bringing Ginger in for a parenting conference, please fill out the contact form at gingerhubbard.com and we'll get back to you with more information. Also on gingerhubbard.com, you can find Ginger's wonderful resources that will help you get to the heart of outward behavior and address it from a biblical perspective. Today, we're offering her book, Guiltless Living, Confessions of a Serial Sinner Captured by the Grace of God, at a 10% discount when you use the code parenting at gingerhubbard.com. This book also includes a 7-week study guide, which makes it a great resource for group or individual Bible study. Thank you so much for joining us today, listeners. We look forward to being with you again next week. Until then, may God bless you as you seek to reach the hearts of your children for the glory of God.